Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11. We are jumping back into our real life issues. And tonight we're going to look at a real life Christian issue that I think is important, and that is faithlessness. Or if we want to look at it on the positive side, being a person of faith, trusting God in our daily life. Hebrews chapter 11, and look what the Bible says in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." I want to read verse 1 again. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let's pray together tonight. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather together tonight around your word. And Lord, I pray that you would use our time together to build our faith. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that our faith would be increased. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to make good decisions that would honor you, that would glorify you. And so, Lord, I pray that your blessing would be upon our service and the preaching of your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll never forget the day that we came to Kitchener 20 years ago. We had just purchased a new car. It was a Mercury Mystique. We called it a Mercury Mistake for many reasons. But we decided when we bought this new car that we were going to take it for a test drive and tested all the features. It didn't take us long on this country drive as we were enjoying the day that God had made, that there was one feature that we realized this car did not have. We were driving, and as we were driving, all of a sudden, the car just stopped. On the side of the road, we were stranded. And for some reason, when they were designing this car, they decided, hey, let's not put a fuel warning light on it. That's an optional. Maybe it was an upgrade. I don't know. But, I mean, I could have looked at the gas indicator, and it was low, but there was no light indicating that we were running out of gas. And so there we were, stranded on the side of the road with no fuel. And I'm glad that a kind soul stopped and helped us on our way. But I say this story because fuel is essential to move forward. In a vehicle, you need fuel. Without fuel, you'll be stranded, as April and I realized many years ago. A car will not drive unless it has fuel. And a Christian will not go forward unless it has faith. Now, we could say that faith, like fuel, is essential in the Christian life. Someone penned these words, "So on I go, not knowing. I would not if I might. I'd rather walk in the dark with God then go alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with him than go alone by sight." I want us to turn to Romans chapter 1, if we could turn there and look what the Bible says. Romans chapter 1, and look what the Bible says in verse number 17. Romans chapter 1, and notice what the scriptures say in verse 17. Romans 1, verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The justified, the saved, the Christian, shall live by faith. Charles Spurgeon wrote these words in his journal. He said, "A little faith will bring your soul to heaven. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul." A little faith will bring your soul to heaven. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. If you're going to be successful in the Christian life, then you'll need faith in God to do it. Now, of course, this faith begins at salvation when we've trusted Christ as our Savior. And the Bible teaches us this very thought. If we could go to Colossians chapter 2 in our Bibles, Colossians chapter 2, and notice what the Bible says. We came to the Lord by faith, and we continue to walk by faith each and every day. We could say that your faith pathway, your faith way, your faith walk doesn't end at salvation, it only begins. Look what the Bible says here, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, this is the fact we received him by faith, so walk ye in him. And so we received the Lord in faith, we continue to walk in faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. And so I want us to break this down here tonight and look at this idea of having faith and trusting the Lord in the Christian life. If you're taking notes tonight, would you write this down? The definition of faith. The definition of faith. Now, you may be saying, well, Pastor Burns, I think you've just read what faith is, defined. But I don't believe so. I want us to go to another passage and go to Hebrews chapter 12 and notice what the Bible says here. Hebrews chapter 12. And look what the Bible says in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. I believe this defines for us what it means to have faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, the witnesses are those who live by faith. You can read about them in Hebrews chapter 11, we call this the Hall of Faith, or whatever title you want to give it. It's all of those who successfully live the Christian life by faith. And there's a long list there. And there's a list of people maybe you believe shouldn't even be on the list, but they live by faith. And so the Bible says, "Wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," those in chapter 11, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, God's desire for our life is that we would go forward, is that we would be successful. God wants us to succeed in the Christian life. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to move forward. And so how is this accomplished? Well, he gives us the recipe in our text. He says, "Lay aside every weight, lay aside the sin which so easily besets us." We say that's the besetting sin that we all have. We all have a besetting sin that may trip us up. And so he says, lay it all aside. Lay the weights that are not necessarily sins, but they are sidetracking us. Lay them aside. And then he says, "Run the race that's set before you." With this endurance, run the race set before you with this patience. And this is an individual race. This is not a race that I can run for you, and you cannot run my race. I have troubles and trials and difficulties in my life that you don't face, and you face different obstacles in your life. And so our race has unique features that no one else will have. But God gives us grace to run our race. And so here the writer of Hebrews says, run your race. Run the race set before you. And then notice what the Bible says in verse 2, which I believe is the definition of faith. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This speaks of faith as in our belief system, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now remember, the justified, the just, shall live by faith. And how are we going to accomplish this in our life? Well, the definition of faith is keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus, keeping our eyes on God. Now you say, is this important? Absolutely. It's not putting our eyes on each other. It's not putting our eyes on our obstacles. It's keeping our eyes on Jesus. You know, I think this is what the writer of Proverbs say as acknowledging the Lord. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, I think coming to church is acknowledging God. It's saying, hey, I'm taking time out of our busy lives, our busy summer, our busy days, and I'm saying, God, you're important to me. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to put worth to you. Opening our Bible, praying, all of these things are acknowledging God. Every trial that we face in our life, it's seeing God in it. It's understanding that God is going to guide us and work through it. Every circumstance, every turn, every twist in the road, it's seeking God. It's acknowledging God. It's looking to God. And so we must keep our eyes on Jesus. I think this is what the hymn writer had to say when he said, "Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free." He says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in this wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I believe it's the definition of faith, looking to God, looking to the Lord. Number two, then how would we describe faith? If we define it by looking unto Jesus, then how would we describe the faith that we have? Well, I think it's found in our text here that I began with in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let me read it again. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that's faith, the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God made this world from nothing because he's God. So how would we describe faith? If we were going to use two words to describe what faith is, I would say, first of all, faith is confidence. Faith is confidence. And it's important to understand the object of our faith is God. So it is believing God. Faith is confidence in God. The word substance there derives from an interesting word. The word means to stand under a foundation, and thus the idea of substance speaks of ground on which one builds a hope. It's a foundation where one builds a structure in their life. And the Bible says that faith is a substance. And so we say substance equals confidence. It's a foundation for our life. And the reality is tonight you had confidence and a lot of things that you didn't even think twice about. You had confidence that when you walked out to your car and you put the key in, you turned that key or hit that button, that your car would start. And when it doesn't, it throws you off. I know because I've experienced dead batteries. By the end of this message, you're going to like, you have terrible luck with cars, but yeah, I mean, I've gone out to a car and lights were left on, and you know, you have confidence that you get into that car, you turn on the key, that car is going to start, and when it doesn't start, it throws you, it shakes your confidence. What's going on? Why isn't it starting? And so you had confidence that when you walked in here tonight, you didn't think twice. I don't think anyone walked in and say, hey, I wonder if this roof is going to hold. I mean, think of it. You had confidence that your chair was going to hold you up. You didn't think twice that, I wonder if this chair is going to hold me up or allow me to sit down comfortably. You had confidence. You sat down. You walked in. You started your car. You had confidence in these things. And life is filled with this confidence. And the reality is the Christian life is filled with substance. We are hopeful people tonight. This confidence is based on the promises and the personality of God. You see, our confidence, our faith is not based on, you know, a design from an architect. It's not based on an engineer's design of a car. It's based on a God whose nature is infallible, who cannot lie. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, as the writer of Hebrews builds our confidence in God. And notice what he says in chapter 6 and verse number 18. Chapter 6 and verse number 18. Look what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable or unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Now, God's promise and God's oath is upon two immutable or unchangeable things. And those two immutable, unchangeable things are wrapped up in who God is, God's nature. He cannot lie. This is who God is. The two immutable things the writer of Hebrews is talking about is the promises of God and the oath that God has made. And these two immutable or unchangeable things are based on the nature of who God is. God is a God who doesn't change. God is a God who cannot lie. And when God makes a promise, God always keeps his promise. Can we go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. And look what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. It says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These are great and precious promises. And these precious promises are based on the nature of who God is. And so this is the confidence that we have in God tonight. And so how is your faith? How is your confidence in God? Anything, someone said, anything God has ever done, God can do it now. And anything God has ever done anywhere, God can do it here. And anything God has ever done for anyone, God can do it for you. How is your confidence in God? How's your faith? If I were to give you a second word to describe faith, I would say it's confidence, and then I would say it's confirmation. Confirmation. He is proven every time to be true. The Bible says the evidence, underline it in your Bible, the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible gives great illustrations of this description of faith. The elders obtain a good report. Their confidence in God led to the confirmation that God kept his word. They trusted in God, and God didn't let them down. God didn't fail them. The creation of the world. We have confidence that God created the world. And this is proven by the complexities that we see all around us. In fact, the Bible says that only a foolish individual would say that there is no God. Can I read this to you? Psalm 33, verse 6. Look what the Bible says. It says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You see, we have faith to believe that God can, because God can, and God did. You know, I'm told, and I never mathematically worked this equation out, but I'm told that the chances that a dice or a handful of dice land 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all in that order, all the way up to number 8, is over 1 to 1 trillion. The chances of that. And when we talk about the world today, we're talking about cells and DNA and all of those complexities that scientists find it hard to grasp and understand. And when we think about just dices, 1 to 8, and the chances of that happening, the chance to say that this world was created by nothing and just by random order, random chance, is crazy to think that way. We believe by faith. We have confidence in God and confirmation. The heavens declare the glory of God. I think also the confirmation by faith. We read about Abel and Enoch and Noah in verse number 7. Noah had confidence that it would rain. He believed God. So what did he do? He built an ark. Because God told him to do that. And you know what? Noah wasn't left confounded. It started to rain. God kept his word. God was proven to be true. We read about Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, and all of these individuals had confidence in God, and God proved himself true. According to the promises that he had made, he never let them down. And friend, tonight, you won't be the first that he lets you down. He will keep his word. And so faith is confidence. It's confidence in God. And it's according to his nature of who he is. And God will prove that his promises are true in your life. Let me give you another scripture. Can we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 8? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 8. Look what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 8. Or excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 6. The Bible says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The word confounded means feelings of fear or feelings of shame. And I'm here to tell you tonight that faith in God will not bring shame. It will not bring shame. God will always show up. God will always show up. God will always keep his word. God will never let you down. I see the definition of faith, looking unto Jesus. I think of the description of faith. It is confidence and confirmation. Confidence in the nature of who God is and God proving himself true in your life. God proving yourself true. That's why the hymn writer said to someone who is not walking by faith and hasn't experienced God proving himself true in their life, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. taste and see that the Lord is good. Thirdly, I want us to think about the declaration of faith. The declaration of faith. So look what the Bible says in verse 5 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, how did Enoch please God? Well, I believe the answer is found in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. For first of all, we must believe that God is. And then we must seek him. And as we seek him, he rewards us for seeking him. We must believe that he is. We must come to him in faith for salvation. But then we must also continue in the Christian life to live by faith. I think about the object of our faith. Look what the Bible says. He that cometh to God. He that cometh to God. There are many that have faith in something, but the object of their faith is wrong. Some have faith in faith. Some are trusting in the concept of faith. Well, you just got to have faith. Well, faith in what? You just got to have faith. Others have faith in people, in humanity. We would define that as humanism. We believe that humanism, or we believe that humanity has all the answers. Some trust in a pastor or a preacher. Some have faith in money. Some have faith in material gain. Some have faith in some ideology. Some have faith in religion or a church or a denomination or an organization. But the Bible says that we must come to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. With faith, we must come to God. And so the object of our faith is God. We see also the decision to have faith. We must make the decision in our life to be a person of faith. Someone said, have you prayers that seem to be unanswered? Anxious moments, trials hard to bear? Have faith in his promises, unfailing God. The unfailing God will hear. He will answer your prayer. God, faith in God, can move a mighty mountain. We sang that chorus. Faith can calm the troubled sea. Faith can make a desert like a fountain. Faith can bring the victory. Now, the faith that we have in God is a living faith. It's alive. It's real. Can we turn to Mark chapter 2 in our Bibles tonight? Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And look what the Bible says in verse number 3. We'll begin our reading. Mark chapter 2, verse 3. It says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. There were four people carrying him. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that's not talking about the newspaper and radio, but the press of people, the large group of people, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now think about that statement. When Jesus saw their faith acted. It revealed in their life that they believed that God, that Jesus could heal their friend. Someone has said the opposite of joy is not sorrow, it is unbelief. The hymn writer said, I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. The reality is that we have a living faith, and our faith must be acted upon. And so because we believe God and we believe and have confidence in God, we pray and we seek the face of God. And God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want him to answer our prayers, but we humble ourselves and we cast our care upon the Lord, and God hears those prayers and he answers those prayers in a greater, wiser way than what we could understand. And we humble ourselves before the Lord. Our faith is a living faith. We have confidence in God. And so I say to you, trust God for your health. I say, trust God for your finances. Trust God in your marriage. Trust God in that trial that you seem to feel like it's overbearing and overcoming you. Trust God in those burdens. Trust God in raising your children. Have faith in God. It's a living faith. It's not something that we just set on the side and go through our daily life and daily activity. No, it's something that is real, and we carry with us. We have faith, and faith in God is revealed in our responses in our life each and every day. I remember preaching a funeral many, many years ago for a mother who had passed away, and her children were not saved. Her children were not Christians, and many of the conversations that I had with this dear woman were for her children. She loved them, and she wanted them to be saved. And I remember before the funeral began, I would gather the family together beside the casket, and I would pray for them. I would pray with them. And I remember as they were closing the casket for the service to begin, one of the children came to me weeping and said, I didn't agree with my mother's faith, but I'll tell you this, she believed what she said. She believed what she said. Our faith is seen in our life, and our faith is seen by our children. Our faith is seen by others around us. It is a living faith. It is a living faith. But I also believe that faith in God changes us. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Faith in God makes the difference. Faith in God makes the difference. And I don't even know the faith of the man on the bed that was sick with a palsy. I just think we understand the faith of the four men that knew that he had to get to Jesus. And they knew that Jesus could make the difference. And so I'm saying that not only does your faith affect your life, but your faith also affects the life of your children and those around you. Your faith in God is going to be seen by others, and it changes our life. Our confidence in God is going to be seen. And then I want to remind you that it's about God getting the glory. In Mark chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. When you live by faith, it is God who gets the glory, because you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I think of Noah and his family on the ark. It was God who received the glory. Abraham, God received the glory. The life of Moses, God was the one that was glorified. Every time we see someone walking by faith, it is God that is lifted up. And so God, help us today to be a people of faith. Can we turn to Romans chapter 4, if we could? Romans chapter 4, and verse number 20. Romans chapter 4. And look what the Bible says in verse 20. Abraham was a man who had great faith in God. Abraham wasn't perfect, but he had faith. And the Bible says this in Romans 4 in verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised God, think about those two words again. It's confidence and confirmation. And Abraham was fully persuaded that if God made the promise, God could do it. And the Bible says he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. If God made a promise, God will keep his promise. One last thought and I'll be done. And I hate to focus on the negative tonight, but I want us to think about a faithless life. A faithless life. Can we turn to Luke chapter 12 in our Bibles? Luke chapter 12. And look what the Bible says. Luke chapter 12. There were times in the life of the disciples that they struggled with confidence in God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And notice the question, O ye of little faith, O ye of little faith. I think a couple of things when we don't have faith in God or when we struggle with confidence in God. I think, first of all, we limit God. We limit God. Psalm 78, verse 41 says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Speaking of the children of Israel, they lacked faith in God. Someone said this saying, they said, it's never about what God can do. God can do anything. It's never about what God can do. God can do anything. It's always about what God can do through you and through me. And God is limited by our disobedience and our unbelief. And so I think that it would be safe to say that when we live life with unbelief, when we don't have that confidence in God, we limit what God can do through us. I would also suggest that when we live life without that confidence in God or that faith, then we also begin to sink. I think of Peter for just a moment and think of Peter's life. Peter, you know, he said, Lord, I want to walk on water too. You know, and Jesus said, come on, Peter. And so Peter begins to walk on water, which is incredible. I mean, I've never walked on water before. And it would have been incredible to walk on water. And you know the story. He had faith. He kept his eyes on Jesus. But as soon as Peter started looking at the storm and the circumstance, and he realized in his mind, and he started to, you know, use his brain and say, wait a minute. I can't walk on water. He took his eyes off Jesus and he put his eyes on the wind and the waves and the storm, and he began to sink. He began to sink. And I think it's true for us that when we take our eyes off of the Lord, which is the definition of faith, and we put our eyes on our circumstances, we begin to sink under the harshness and the burden of the storm. But we must look to the Lord. Can I read this to you? Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. The Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When we put our eyes on the storms around us, when we start to wonder, how can this be possible? How can I have joy in this hardship in my life? Then we begin to sink. We begin to fall beneath the storm. The daughter of Karl Marx once said this. She said, "I was brought up without religion." This is the daughter of Karl Marx. She says, "I was brought up without religion." She says, "I do not believe that there's a God." But she says, "One day I was reading in an old German book a prayer that said, 'Our Father which art in heaven,' and I thought to myself, if that God, the God of that prayer, existed, I think I could believe on him." And I'm here to tell you that he does exist. And he loves you greatly. He is the only true God. He is the creator God. And Christian, you can trust in him today. Faith, it's looking unto Jesus. It's confidence in God. It's trusting in his promises, who he is, his nature. He will never fail you. It's believing that God will always show up. It is looking to him. And our declaration and faith is simple. We have faith in God. He's the object of our faith. It's a living faith. It's an everyday faith. It's for every circumstance of your life, and it changes you, and it impacts those around you, and it's God who always gets the glory from it. And sometimes it doesn't make sense for us to not trust an unchangeable, almighty God. Someone wrote these words, "Fear says God may fail me." Fear says God may fail me. But faith says he always keeps his word. The Lord will help us. Doubting now would be observed. God help us today to have faith in God.